When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to this week's episode of Safe Room, a horror video game podcast and proud member of Bloody Disgusting's Bloody FM podcast network. I'm your host, Jay Krieger.
And I'm the other one, Neil Boat.
And this week we're rolling up our windows and slapping a dollop of repair putty onto our jalopy as we head into the anomaly-filled zone of Pacific Drive from Ironwood Studios. Set within the Pacific Northwest, this survival game tasks players with collecting all manner of resources and rarities to craft, collect, and upgrade their station wagon, which is used to navigate the dangerous but rewarding zone, the site of a mysterious government test. So we covered very early in Safe Room's history, how horror is so fitting for the survival genre in games, right? And we chatted a lot about how, whether or not certain survival games actually have horror elements in them, you know, more overt horrors like monsters and things like that, the idea of surviving in the wilderness is horrifying to begin with, right? If, you know, you're not on the safeties of a campground or something along those lines. So to get a game that is blending horror with survival that actually has, you know, some qualities to it that are, you know, more firmly in the genre of horror, it was really great to kind of just see a game that was able to do that in a more unconventional way. Because typically it's like, okay, I'm going to go chop down a tree. I'm going to make a fortress or a little house or something along those lines. I'm going to craft some tools. But here, the main thing is not building a base. It is basically building up this car that you have to traverse the zone and whatnot. So I want to start by talking a little bit about, you know, the world of Pacific Drive. Because for me, that's probably the most interesting aspect of the game. And that being the Olympic Exclusion Zone, which I kind of have been describing it to people as, you know, the world of Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, but with the vibes of something like Life is Strange, that, you know, Pacific Northwest part of the country that then has, you know, the folk alt rock sort of score that goes along with it. And of course, you know, the woodland setting and whatnot. How did you kind of find the world of Pacific Drive?
Well, it was the thing that, you know, drew me to it. And first of all, you know, the idea of this Pacific Northwest being, you know, one of those great areas for like horror gaming anyway, like there's something about that kind of, you know, foresty, wet area that just feels, well, yeah, Twin Peaks, X-Files, you know, these are places that have really utilized that sort of thing quite well in the past. So anything that goes for that is interesting in my book. And you know, early on when it was like, oh, it's just about the car and being in the car, that did concern me slightly, because like, oh, okay, is it just going to be in the car? It's like, but, you know, you can get out of the car and explore at your peril. But yeah, so that was at least reassuring. It was like, okay, but obviously the focus is very much on the car and what you do with the car and traveling with that. And so in theory, I looked at it and went, that'd be kind of cool though. I like the idea of like a road trip type environment where you are just sort of exploring these lost places in a car and it's all overgrown. And, you know, like, you know, like my favorite parts of like stuff like The Last of Us are those sort of lush overgrown places where humanity used to be, and it's really just gone to the dogs now, and it's like the world isn't the same. I love that because it does feel like you're exploring like history that's not supposed to be seen, sort of thing. And you know, that's the promise the game makes effectively, is like you will see all these weird and wonderful things. Nobody's been here to really find out what's been going on. Nobody has got out to tell you otherwise. And so instantly that was a great hook. You know, with that setting, that set of tools, but you know, at the very least, very unique, you know, a very interesting way to go about survival. And you know, when we've not that long ago had this with Dredge, you know, being a fantastic example of like a survival game in some senses mixed with a fishing game, that where you never leave your boat, and yet that sounds like a bad idea, but wow, you know, Dredge is Dredge. We've discussed it plenty of times to tell you It's good. It does that job very well. But yeah, so I was really, you know, to pardon the pun, geared up for this one.
I had a similar sort of hesitation when this game was first announced, and that was because of the fact that, like, we were like, oh, well, you know, it's one thing to drive around this woodland environment, but, you know, naturally in driving in games, you're going to go off-road. And the idea of connecting with an environment from behind the wheel of a vehicle the entire time was something that I thought was going to somewhat exclude the true potential of, like, actually connecting with the area that you're investigating. There's something about, you know, boots on the ground type of thing, getting to be, you know, just like arm's length away from something rather than seeing everything through a windshield. And, you know, while a majority of the experience is spent behind the wheel, I think that little subtlety of, like, okay, you can actually get out and you can go into these structures and you can rifle through these cabinets and things like that, even if that might become repetitive later down the road, it still allowed me, I think, to connect with the exclusion zone more so than, you know, I was anticipating originally. Because, you know, I think we've spoken about this previously, but, like, we're not huge into, like, driving games and things like that. And, you know, while the setting itself was very intriguing, it was the idea of spending, you know, whatever, 15, 20 hours driving around was not exactly, you know, on my list of things for, you know, a game that really clicks with me. So come to find out that you can actually get out of the vehicle, not only explore areas more, but the fact that you're so hands-on with your vehicle, which becomes basically like your home, is the thing that also, I think, really helps to connect with just the world of Pacific Drive. The fact that you get to literally, you're not just in a menu like, okay, I'm going to put, you know, some experience points into reinforcing my wheels or the bumper or something like that. It's, you literally have to, you know, use your equipment. You're going to be shredding different things that you find in the environment to get resources. And then quite literally are going to walk up to the specific sections of your car to, you know, customize them or to swap out parts or these things. And, you know, utilizing all the parts of the car, you know, the trunk ends up being almost as important as the front of the car because of the fact that that houses additional storage, but also has a crafting table. So you don't have to, you know, keep worrying about going back to, like, your shop or, your vehicle shop and whatnot to, like, upgrade the vehicle. It can be a little bit more sort of like where you're at in a given section of the zone. You can stop, you can deal with that if you have the resources, or you might have to deviate in a given moment from your objective to go, you know, scour for resources because you've got a flat tire or you busted a headlight because you ran into something or, you know, your bumper fell off, which, you know, happened a fair amount to me. I won't lie. Driving through all those trees and banging into boulders and whatnot, I definitely had some wear and tear on my jalopy, but that ends up making me more invested. It almost gives like an RPG kind of quality to a driving game, which sounds much more appealing to me, somebody that's not huge on driving games, but it's those little touches, I think, that really let Pacific Drive capitalize on those subgenres that it's, you know, blended together.
Yeah, I think the granular nature of it is where it stands out straight away. It's like, you know, the car is the star. You are really doing everything you can to make that your base of operations like that. And I like the idea of a mobile base of operations like that and it being so tied into, you know, the gameplay. I think this is what you have to applaud about this game in terms of, like, just everything as an idea is really good. I think they've married this idea of this car in this environment and why and the how and the where, that it all makes great sense. You know, I think, you know, it's very easy to just say, oh, you're traveling in a car to do this stuff and blah blah blah. It's like, but, you know, making the car this, you know, entity effectively that, you know, has certain abilities because of the area it's in without making it, like, overly supernatural, you know, that was the first thing. I was like, I hope we're not going into too much of a supernatural range with this car sort of thing, you know, beyond the stuff that's already weird and odd about this game. And, you know, no, it's not really. Most of the time it is like car mechanic simulator. You know, you are just slapping stuff on your car, finding. Yeah, and that early resource management is difficult to get around. You know, like trying to figure out what you need to take, what you should take on a thing. Obviously the roguelike nature of it, meaning you can lose stuff while you're out there if you don't do it right. If you drop stuff in the field and don't pick it back up and you leave, yeah, gone sort of thing with that. And very that in itself is very frustrating in the early hours, that you kind of need to get into that groove. And you know, it that does of course even itself out a bit as you go on, but it is not very forgiving in those early hours especially, I think. And that very much determines whether you or not you will be like invested enough to push through the next sort of gate, you know, when you get to that at that point.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely overwhelming for the first probably 2 hours, just trying to get a handle on everything, trying to realize, okay, this is the equipment I should craft that I should always have. And then this is, you know, some other types of equipment that, you know, I should be mindful of, and I should be keeping an eye out for certain resources in case I have to replace it. And I think that they do a good enough job once things get rolling, because unfortunately they do throw everything at you seemingly at once. Once you get your car, you end up in the garage, and then you basically are given this like tome of, you know, instructions on what to do, how to do certain things, what goes into making certain items. And you're kind of just like scrambling. But at the same time, once you kind of just get out there, start exploring a little bit, it comes a little bit more intuitively, I think, once you're actually in the field and you get a good sense of like, oh, okay, so this is how careful I actually have to be with my vehicle. If I'm going to, you know, bang into trees and rocks and stuff, I better have, you know, a repair kit, or I better have a sealant for my tires and these things. Oh, I need a new door, so I need to be on the lookout for that. And, you know, when you're exploring various regions beforehand on this computer that's in the garage, it tells you like certain things that are going to be more plentiful, or there will be a lack of in, you know, certain areas. So you kind of can play those opening hours after you do that first gate jump, which we'll talk about, to kind of just like play at your own pace, which is nice, I think. At the same time, I wish that the, I suppose, like a opening tutorial section was a little bit more streamlined, but there is something in just experimenting with different car parts or just using different equipment to see like, oh, how could I collect as much sort of resources as possible in a short period of time? So, you know, primarily when you come across, you know, wrecked cars, or you come across just old structures, you can kind of tear them apart with either like a hacksaw, you've got this basically like a hammer gun, and then a crowbar to break into buildings and things like that. And it's, again, the getting out of the car portion of it, I think, reinforces the player needs to have agency in what they want to prioritize. Because sometimes it's just go to this zone, you need to go to this marker, which will progress the story, or sometimes it's teaching you a new mechanic. But really, the player has a level of freedom that I wasn't expecting, which again is nice, because when you're exploring this massive environment and you have this entire checklist of things that you need to either be completing, or just your own mental checklist of, okay, I need, you know, resources so I can build this new part to put on my car or something along those lines. Like it's just nice to have the option of, okay, I don't feel forced into doing any one thing, which, you know, that level of freedom I think is nice in a game that's all about exploring at your sort of leisure.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits of that early time, is, you know, getting to appreciate all the minor, the atmospheric touches of the game. You know, like this 24-hour clock, real-time clock, which, you know, if you play at night, it's nighttime sort of thing, and like that, and having to plan accordingly for that. Not good if, you know, you are someone that has to play at night, generally speaking, because you have you'll be annoyed.
That's the case. Yes, you will.
But, you know, like to listening to like the radio stations, and like getting to appreciate the slower pace with like learning the car, and, you know, these little very granular and modular movements of it, you know, where you are just doing like turning the key, pulling up the handbrake, all that stuff, like turning to the side and putting in stuff into your computer, which is your map, you know, like that. It all feels really cool and tactile, and you really do just like appreciate the work that's gone into making it feel that way at that point. I think that's so good in those early hours where you are just struggling in other aspects, but in a way it's giving you the freedom to at least learn about the car and learn about yourself. And it's not like it punishes you harshly in terms of like what you've lost in most of the time, but what it does punish you most of all is time. Yeah.
Yes.
Which does of course bring me to, you know, the game having some issues early on, technically speaking, we'll get into the actual ones. But unfortunately, you know, when I started this, my PS5 was having some great fun deciding to just switch itself off when any game got a little bit heated. And yeah, so with a game like this where, you know, you can't save mid-mission, you can't stop.
Yeah.
If you go out, you're back at the beginning of it, sort of thing like that. That kept happening. And it added an urgency to the missions I did not like, which is obviously not the game's fault, but nothing makes you despise the lack of a save option more than seeing things like that happening. But of course, when I came back to having solved the problem, spoiler alert, my plug wasn't plugged in properly.
You should note that that was only after you had to take your PS5 apart to clean it. It wasn't just that you never had it plugged in properly.
Yeah, that's it. That was what was more frustrating about it. It's like, having already done all that, it's like it made me a bit more, oh good, my PS5 is fucked up, you know, at a time when I've got all these things to play. So that really sort of derailed my, you know, the new game enthusiasm thing you get, you know, where you get into a game and you really want to dive into what it is and appreciate it. And that first day I was really getting into it, but yeah, that kind of stopped me a bit. Yeah, and then you just, I don't know, coming back to it, like a week after that, patches seem to have made it play worse in terms of like technical level stuff. I mean, the game, you know, we've spoken often about, you know, ambition trumps, you know, technical aspects if you do it in the right balance, obviously. And yeah, there's a lot of ambition in what I would have gone for here, but I do not like playing driving games in first person, ever. Like, so if you're going to do it, it needs to be smooth as fuck. And this is by far not smooth as fuck. And you are also in an environment that is obviously very overgrown. You're having to go off-road. So these technical hitches and frame rate problems, things like that, really did not endear me to at that point, because with that first person view, it's just upsetting at that point for me personally, where I found it very hard to get past that in certain sections, and it kind of altered the way I played it, because I almost didn't want to drive in the car most of the time. And like any kind of problem with the car, like going up a hill and it just sliding down slightly because you went 2 inches to the left or the right, the little things just become bigger frustrations. Yeah. Again, this is all very much, you know, technical problems aside, you know, this is my personal experience and it was coloured by what happened in the first place. But all, at the same time, you know, I came into this buying into what it was doing. You know, when I read a friend of the show, Mark Delaney's review of this game, you know, and very forthright in saying, you know, how frustrating this game can be and how, and exactly why, you know, that helped so much to see reviews like that that would point out where it was great, where it would do good things, but where also it would frustrate and maybe needed a bit of guidance and changing. And so, yeah, it prepared me better for what game I was going to play. And still, with that, you know, those aspects kind of really soured it for me a bit.
Yeah, you know, I think my biggest issue with the driving early in those first opening hours with the game was that all of the parts that you have are inferior to what you end up with in, you know, the next 2 or 3 hours from that. And it makes driving, especially when you're obviously driving through this environment that is filled with anomalies that at any given moment could drastically alter certain parts of the terrain that you're driving through, let alone, God forbid, you're driving at night through the woods off-roading and you have one headlight working, which is a section that I got caught in, to the degree that I literally just reloaded my last save, which was maybe like 20 minutes previously, because I was just so fucking fed up with not being able to see anything and driving through the dark like that. But, you know, the parts that you have, and specifically the tires that you have, they're almost certainly bald tires at that point. They don't have good traction. You get the handbrake, I think, 2 hours into the game or something like that. And so it just ends up being this thing where you're like, okay, this car drives like I'm on a skating rink for the first hour or two of the game. And then when I'm trying to dodge anomalies, when this, you know, there's one where basically you get these pillars of concrete that just rise up out of the air that can, you know, launch you in the air. Or you can bang into them. And like trying to navigate that and not spin out was a huge frustration early on. You know, I'm thinking primarily about the first time that you use that arc to basically teleport back to the garage. And that's basically a feature where you come across these different energy balls, if you will. You can feed them into your car that open up portals that let you then escape from the given zone that begins to basically collapse. And it sends you back to your garage, which then you get your next mission. And that experience was a highlight the first time around because it went smoothly. It gives you the coordinates. The environment almost closes in on you like a sort of like the Ring of Death from PUBG or Warzone. And you have, you know, 2 minutes to clear that area and, you know, go back to the garage. Now, the first time I did it, it was thrilling because it felt like a big movie moment. Okay, by the skin of my teeth, I was swerving. I was narrowly crashing into trees and shit, but I made it in the end. I got my loot and I got my reward. The second time I did that, I skidded out and then crashed into a tree and then destroyed my headlights. Now I can't see. There's radiation basically that's like closing in that begins to obscure your view. And it just, it became so just, my vision was basically just completely blurred at that point. And like all of a sudden this whole run went sideways and I lost all my gear because I skidded out basically on shitty gear that I had. And like those, that happened probably two more times after that in the early hours of the game. And I just remember sitting there and being like, that was so incredibly frustrating. And then taking a break and coming back later, because it was just like, oh, that, you know, it's not that I had died. It was just that, oh, well, I didn't see this anomaly or I skidded out. And like little things like that, especially when you spent 20 minutes and then you have to go back and do that whole 20 minutes again. That's the penalty that, you know, really kind of gets me. And it's hard to overlook at times.
It really is. And, you know, while I appreciate that the game does have, you know, its sliders for making things tailored towards your taste, and that they weren't necessarily the kind that felt helpful, you know, in a way that they didn't do, they didn't shift the things that I would prefer they shifted, you know, that like the way you drive and with that perspective, especially. I just needed a bit more stuff like that. But, you know, all the same, I appreciate they tried so hard to make so many different ways to accommodate people who will just want the story or just want to, you know, because in fairness, while I love a good survival game, I love a bad survival game. If the core gameplay of it isn't tuning with me, I don't want to know. So I don't mind just saying, fine, we'll go with the story. Yeah, that's fine. And this is a game that, you know, is leading with story and really actually for a survival game is probably one of the better examples I find of like building a world and making it feel like this big mysterious thing. And you know that it does just, yeah, the world this game inhabits really does deserve to be more polished, I suppose, be the way to put it. It's got so much good going for it in terms of like the ambition of what they tried to do here, that these, all the technical problems and, you know, just the general gameplay loop, I suppose, a little bit more and maybe we could have got there. And, you know, for some people it's the perfect thing, that's what they want, but for me it was like I kind of want to know more about the weird stuff, because early on especially you just get this feeling of like, is this all there is to it? You know, is it just like what I'm basically running into is, you know, anomalies, sure, you could say that. To me, it's like playing Crash Team Racing and it's like things on the track that just mess you up or something. That's it. That's what they look like. They don't even look like anomalies, some of them. They do literally look like this is a thing that if you go through it, it's like a mud pile or whatever. Like that. It's just in very video gamey, didn't really fit this tone of like all the mysterious stuff, you know, which was a shame because, you know, there are bits of it that really do work. And I suppose what really gets me is this want for exploration and really wanting to get into it, but because it's so segmented, you don't really feel like you're exploring in the traditional sense. I had this very similar problem with a game called Hunter Call of the Wild, where it's like, I don't really care for hunting necessarily in the game. you know, it's like really cool to places they've built, you know, they're just vast open expanses, and it's really cool to just walk around them. You just kind of wish you had a bit more to do otherwise, you know, that was not like that. And then they had a game called Generation Zero, which, you know, brought in like robots and things, and like that, you were like, it's a survival game with that same sort of structure, and that was like really cool. But then it was too much of that, you know. It's like you didn't really get time to feel the need to be traveling all over the place, and which was a shame. So I never found that compromise, and here it's the same thing where it's like I want one thing, I want the other, but I go back to Dredge again with that balance thing of like, I don't mind if you're going to do this and this, this together, but make it fit together no matter who's coming into it, and make it feel like it's going to be this grand experience that you don't expect, sure, but not at the cost of, you know, pissing people off, maybe. Which is, yeah, you can't appreciate, you can't stop that. That's going to happen because, yeah, opinion, subjective, etc., etc. But still, it was just one of those where you almost feel like you got what you wanted, but not quite. And it's so frustrating in that regard because it's so close to being the kind of exploration that I want. And ironically, for an indie game, you know, where normally you sort of roll your eyes at like the whole people who would say, oh, well, they will do this and they can't do this sort of stuff, and this game's actually trying to do more, it's kind of penalizing itself for it because it's not going back to the basics of, you know, of what it could do well. You know, if it was actually more streamlined and not so granular, I might actually be more into it, I suppose.
I'm of two minds with the world itself, because while I totally agree in terms of the storytelling, it was a peg above, multiple pegs above, I would say, what I expect of survival games. Usually survival games, the intro is really strong, narratively speaking, but then that almost certainly disappears outside of that opening hour and the occasional milestone.
Yeah.
With this game, it is much more frequent, and you get those really wonderfully voiced and written interactions over the radio and whatnot, and, you know, stumbling upon radio transmissions and these things. All of that is really great. You've got these documents and, you know, voice logs, audio logs that you'll find and whatnot that further flesh out the world. But then when I'm actually driving around the world itself, it started to feel just a little bit too familiar for me. And it just kind of ended up driving through these environments, and I very quickly was realizing, outside of some of the big set piece anomalies, like I'm thinking in probably the second or third main mission, you go to this area and there's an anomaly that is just literally in the center of the map, and you're driving around it. And that was, you know, this spectacle of, you know, stalkerish proportions. And later on though, like immediately after that, I was like, oh, I'm driving through another, you know, muddy brown area of the same sort of woodland patch. And while, you know, it is very atmospheric early on in the first 5 hours of the game or so, when you're just driving around and, you know, listening to the rain fall on the roof, and you've got some wild music coming in over the radio, and you're dodging anomalies. But outside of that, it just, you know, the longer I was in that world, the more I just wanted something else, something new, something that gave an area or a zone a little bit more of an identity that didn't necessarily have to be tied to like a main story mission, but at the same time, just something else, or perhaps maybe it's just giving me something else to do in this environment other than exactly what I've been doing. And I said it to you before we started recording. I was like, I enjoyed my time with the game, but I feel like within the first 5 hours, I had kind of experienced everything that this game had to offer me in terms of an experience. Mm. And while I'm not going to say that after that 5 hour point, it stops being enjoyable, it just really, I think, is cognitive. Like, the player themselves has to be invested in the idea of just grinding for more gear, of personalizing their car. Cause that's a big part of it in the back half of the game, is just like, oh, well, now you've got all these resources, let's just customize this car as much as to your heart's extent. And for me personally, that's not something I'm super interested in. I wanted to see, you know, how much crazier the anomalies could get. What other secrets could I uncover? And while there are some, I just felt after a while, I was like, this just feels like, okay, I'm just, again, driving through the woods. I need something else, whether it's gameplay or whether it's environmental, to kind of switch things up. And that didn't necessarily happen for me in the back half of my time with it.
No, and as I've kind of pointed out already, I was less enamored with the game as a result, because I did not enjoy the driving at all, really. And so by that point, when you know that's the loop every time, kind of dread the loop of it, and you don't want to keep going. And really, at that point, as strong as the world is at times, it's at that point, it's like, is it strong enough for me to care, to want to carry on and really, you know, go through the messy bits of this? And I think there came a time late on where it's just, you know, the frame rate was chugging terribly, and like it was a nighttime one, and like you said, you know, no headlights because of damage done. And I had been doing it for ages. Like, I'd been in that mission for like 50 something minutes. I just turned it off because I just could not. I don't care that I'm losing the progress, because I think I will scream if I have to do this very long sort of thing like that. It's just like, it became a bit too much at that point, which is, what can you do? That's, again, just comes down to how I felt. That if something doesn't get in lockstep with how you feel, you are just going to have, unfortunately, that mindset where it's very hard to get past that. Great games can do it, I think. You know, I felt very much like that with Dishonored 2 many years ago, where at the beginning I couldn't get into it, bounced off it, did not like it. One of my favorite games of all time, yeah, now. So, yeah, it's eventually you get into the groove of what it's doing, and, you know, that was a game again, where, you know, great, ambitious, interesting mechanics, you know, deeper than you ever understand at first. But when it came out, it was a technical mess, you know, it was had problems left, right, and center. But, yeah, it's, you've got to be able to go beyond that, and the gameplay has to have something more. And I don't care for tinkering with cars or driving cars that much. You know, that, not to say that there aren't great games with cars in them for me. You know, Burnout Takedown is like phenomenal to me. You know, like arcade racing, smashing the shit out of each other, brilliant. Love that.
For me, I love the drive.
Yeah, and I even like in the much derided GTA 4 and its driving. I love the way the driving felt in that, because it felt weighty and proper, and I don't know, just felt like New York-y traffic to me, like in the way it should, you know, without any prior experience what that means, and it still felt right, you know. When the whole game's about that, it's got to be good for me, you know. It's got to really nail that aspect, and I think maybe with less technical problems it would have, but I think just the basis of my issue is driving in first person.
Yeah, I would say for anybody that is more into cars than we are, they are really into like tinkering with every aspect of, you know, equipment or something like that. This is really, really impressive, I think, with the depth of the mechanic that's there, because really you quite literally are going to pop the hood and you're going to be replacing parts, or you're going to be, you know, fixing and customizing every single aspect. And something that you mentioned earlier was like, when you're actually in the cab of the station wagon, you can look up and interact with all these different tidbits. If you need to read something, you can turn on the light, you can mess with the windshield wipers, all these different things. You can mess with your computer while you're doing that, or hit a button to activate some type of other feature within the car. And so like, it, for people that are really into customization and car games, it felt to me like the equivalent of like a horror survival version of like Gran Turismo in that regard, because you literally can take it down to like the type of engine, the type of coolant and whatever that you're using, which for people that are into that, they're going to get a lot more mileage out of that. But, you know, for me at the same time, though, it makes me think about like the supernatural aspect of it and how that comes into one of my least favorite aspects of this game, which is the last moment I had with this game was getting a run fucked up because your car has a supernatural connection to the player and the character. And so eventually your car will develop certain quirks, which on paper is like a kind of a cool mechanic. The idea that over time you're going to get thrown these curveballs, the more comfortable a player gets with the mechanics and everything, they'll get a curveball where sometimes when they turn on a light, a door on the car will open, or if they turn the wheel, it might honk. On paper, that's like cool and quirky. But later on, you might end up with a quirk such as the hood popping up randomly, or the engine turns off. And that happened to me on the last time that I was trying to make it to one of those arc runs. And that completely fucked up my run. And I literally turned it off and I was like, I'm going to go read a book before I have to get on with Neil to chat. Because I was just like, I had done this incredible run and then getting that thrown at me just took me out of it completely and really fucking pissed me off. And one of those things that it was like, sure, I'm not the best at driving, but at the same time, trying to anticipate the engine shutting off when I've got all these other things closing in around me, it's at nighttime, my vision is obscured already, was just, it was maddening in a way that I was not into at all. For obvious reasons.
That's understandable.
Jesus. But yeah, that was just one of those little touches that, I don't know, I guess for people that do like to master driving games and all those things, maybe the quirks will be a nice curveball for them. But for somebody like us, who are already having some issues, it, kind of compounds those issues in a pretty maddening way.
It does. But what else can you say on that? It's just, you know, if you are into it, it's going to make more sense to you maybe. But, you are then trying to get that demographic across, you know, it's like, who likes the supernatural and tuning cars? You know, it's like, when you said about the quirks, to fit my obligatory XCOM reference in, it did remind me of like the things that would happen to your soldiers in XCOM, you know, where they get like trauma or something like after certain missions, and like it would make them do stupid things in missions like that. Now that was one where it's like, at least you know that's what it is going in, and you can fix it. Like you can in this as well, I think, as well. But it's just, it's
one more thing that you have to like hone in on top of like scheduling when I'm going to head back or am I going to finish this run and deal with this? Like that, it continually gives you even more things that you have to sort of prioritize on top of trying to just get through from point A to point B. Which just, again, gives you even more things to do that can throw off a current run. And then you might have to, you know, make up 20, 25 minutes of what you just spent your time doing.
Yeah. I mean, there was an occasion early on where I didn't realize I'd forgotten, like, that, you know, the hammery thing that smashes stuff like that in another mission. So I'd lost it and like that. And I'd come out onto a mission specifically with stuff like that in mind. And I was like, what am I here for then? What am I going to do? Like that. And then the crowbar I had wasn't very good. And I was like, so after a while, like I'm driving around trying to figure out what I'm doing here. And it just felt like I could head back, but what was the point in this journey? And it's like, moments like that kind of nullify the idea that each journey is like crucial and important. And you've got to, I mean, fool that I am, you know, I was the one that didn't figure it out, that I'd not done something. And that's what you are being punished for effectively in the game, is like, you're stupid, you didn't do this, that's on you. Like that, you've got to improvise or think of a different plan. And I didn't. So, but yeah, it doesn't make it any less frustrating when it happens.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And at the same time, like, it didn't click with, to summarize, it did not click with us the way that we were hoping to, but I still find this game to be an example of why I love, you know, this double A space and how that space becomes even more important. I think the more that we see, you know, triple A games not delivering the types of experiences that we were accustomed to 5, even maybe 10 years ago, because of the fact that this is such a wholly unique game that while it didn't necessarily click with us, for people that are actually more into driving and these things and customization, like it has a great deal of depth to it, more so than I would say probably your average survival, and that's very vague, but like your average survival game that you see on Steam, typically, you know, with some of those games, it's like, oh, okay, well, I have this skill set that I've developed over 3 to 4 hours. It doesn't evolve much past that other than what kind of fun can I make in the environment now that I have a handle on surviving. And in this game, the depth within the car and customization and the different parts that you can buy and how that affects how you traverse the world, like the mechanics are there and they're far deeper than you would anticipate. Just this time around, it didn't necessarily work for us. But I think like presentation wise, in terms of that story, again, as you mentioned, the story is a lot more involved and the production of that story from the writing to the voice acting is also, I would say, you know, a lot better than you might be anticipating for just survival games. Because typically when my experience with survival games, it's like you get that initial radio transmission. Hey, here's what you should probably try to do. And then, you know, you have to wait 2 hours for like a new story beat or something like that, which the story is always, you know, typically the least involved part of survival games. And so for here, this, to have that and actually enrich the world in that way, kept me going probably longer than I would have if it hadn't been there, I would say, because of the world and the way that it's presented. Just so happens the gameplay this time around really didn't click.
And like I said, like any game, I think going into the right mindset, the right patience, I think maybe you get more out of it, I think. And if not, I would suggest the best thing to do is wait it out, hope that they manage to polish a lot of the technical issues. They've done some, but and then down the line, this game could be a lot more enjoyable. Yeah, that's one of the great things about modern games, especially in this space, that you can come back to it and go, well, we can fix this, tweak that, push that out, change the game. You know, we talk about like immersive experiences. You know, last year when I played No Man's Sky in VR, like on PSVR2, and it was like, it felt like this whole new thing to be in the cockpit of it, where it felt, you know, you could have this more granular way of playing, and like where you could literally just doing hand movements to boop 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 here and there and bring up all the different things. It was like night and day with what you do on a controller. And so having something like that, you know, and that game being synonymous with, you know, the idea of like, here's where it was, this is where it is now, you know, that something that's improved and been shaped over time to become not only the game it was always meant to be, but the game is something more like that. This game has that chance, you know. It's not a multiplayer game, it's not a normal sort of survival game, you're not building houses and shit, you know, you have a cut and that's it. And I think there's something more to be made out of it in that regard. And on the upside as well, I think, you know, if this sells well, you know, and critically has done well enough, I think, then you can hope that Ironwood Studios can go and make something the next time around with the lessons learned from this and really funnel it down this new place and really go for it. And I think the end result could be really impressive, you know, because I just think it's an overreach. I think that's the biggest problem. It's trying to do too much with too little and kind of coming up short in certain areas. Then there's the stuff that is literally just down to, you know, personal opinion on driving. But that's it. I think there is definitely promise in what is here. Some people are going to love it, especially when it does get better and is fixed in certain regards. And yeah, I really hope Ironwood Studios get to make the next game something better.
Yeah, it's a promising start for them, but we can reveal that next week we'll be chatting about a game that you had a great amount of admiration for, and one that I sadly wasn't able to play at the time of, you know, I believe it was one of your games of the year for 2022.
I believe it was the game of the year.
Oh, there you go. The game of the year. And that's going to be Norco from developer Geography of Robots, which is a text-based point-and-click adventure game. So we'll be diving into that next week, and I'm very excited because I've been listening to the soundtrack ever since you mentioned it, you know, those 2 years ago, which is fantastic. And now to have the full experience to go along with that soundtrack is a conversation that I'm very much looking forward to have. But, you know, as always, it's a pleasure chatting horror with you for Safe Room.
Same. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Safe Room. If you enjoy the show, please rate us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Safe Room Pod for show updates. As always, our main episodes for Safe Room drop every Monday, but our bite-sized episodes of Horror Bites, our indie horror showcase, drop every Thursday. You can follow Horror Bites Twitter account at horrorbites_SR. You can join our Discord channel, Safe Room Podcast, to chat with us and other horror fans about the genre we all love. And finally, you can send emails to saferoompod@gmail.com if you'd like to share your thoughts on a game we have or are going to cover. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next Monday.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.